Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah! Podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition of the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, Walla Walla New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Craig Wright, Dell Mims, I'm Dave Romero, I'm your host. So grab a drink and sit back and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're doing some New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style. Fellas, we were going to record on Saturday, you know, what, 3 days ago, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get our timeline together. And maybe it's fortunate, because today, some breaking news that by now I'm sure nobody's surprised. Sean Payton decides to retire. Now, what does retirement mean? I got the air quotes up, right? What does retirement mean? But what it means right now is Sean Payton will not be coaching New Orleans Saints in 2022.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop. Okay, just stop doing what you're doing.
We first heard, we saw the smoke. And the thing is, we've actually heard this for quite a while, like last several years, we've heard little things. So I think most of the reactions I saw, and some of the reactions I saw from our own group, our own message group, was, it's just, you know, that's just more of the media clickbait. It, for me,
guy
it was
falling.
When it was Gail Benson said, well, Coach Payton hasn't decided yet if he's returning for 22, and I'm paraphrasing. To me, that's when I knew it was real. Dell, was it? Yes.
It was Glazer. It was when I saw the video with him, with Andrew Perloff, and it was really Jay Glazer saying Sean Payton changed his mind like every day. He goes back and forward, back and forward. And I'm like, okay, if it's coming from Jay Glazer, it's real. This is real. I need to take this serious.
Now, the one thing that Jay Glazer did say is that he's going back and forth. He's changed his mind. If any of you have done something for a long period of time, we talk about it with this very podcast. When you do it for a long time, I think we're going on year 7 now, or maybe year 8. At some point, you just like, and you think, you know what? Off season comes, we take a little bit of time off, and all of a sudden your batteries recharge. You can't wait to do it again, right? So he goes on vacation, Craig. And when he comes back, people were still downplaying it. They're still like, this don't mean anything. And I'm like, at this point, I'm not saying he's not coming back, but you can't act like this is nothing. This is not nothing.
Yeah, I was one of those people too. I mean, until the press conference, I was still. Because we hear this every year. It's, oh, he's going to go to Dallas, or he's going to go to Chicago, he's going to go to New York. And it never did any of it ever pan out. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, maybe he's not going to go to Dallas. Maybe he's just going to retire. And I brushed it off like everything else. Even when Gail said that, my thought process is, well, she's the owner. You know, how plugged in is she to all this stuff? And, oh, man, I'm floored. I'm in a little bit of shock.
I got to tell you, Craig, he's an optimistic guy. I was a little, look, let me tell you, when Breeze retired, my opinion was kind of like, it's probably time. I'm not saying we couldn't have squeezed. And I think some fans thought, hey, let's just keep going, run it back. And I thought, yeah, we could squeeze out another year. But I was like, you know what? At some point, it's time for him to move on and let's start bringing in the next guy. But most of that mentality was predicated on the idea that Sean Payton will bring in a guy and coach him up
and put him on the next level. I'll even go as far, Dale, as talking about Jameis Winston. Like, you know, what everybody sold me on was, well, he has all the talent in the world. He's just been in a bad system with bad coaching. Yes. But we got Sean Payton.
Yes.
So now what do we have? Not just with him, with the next guy. What now separates the Saints from the next team, the other team that's going to bring in a guy? And, you know, we were talking about Nelson. We had a big old thing. We were going to talk about all the quarterbacks available. What were we going to do? Who's going to be the guy to coach this guy up and make him the next Hall of Famer?
Man, that was our big advantage. And I mean, fans across the NFC South are rejoicing right now.
For sure.
Okay. They're absolutely rejoicing because this guy was our advantage. And I mean, he'd even, you know, go so far as to say it himself when everyone was making their hires. And he'd be like, well, it's just, you know, going to make my job a little bit easier. We're going to have more wins, you know? So the guy was amazing and we're really going to miss him. I really hope that he's involved in the process of hiring the next coach.
Greg, I know that you're a little down in the dumps. I can tell by just looking at you. I could tell by the messages.
This is what my face looks like, Dave.
I'm actually
quite ugly.
Well, you know what? I think the best way to for the viewing audience is Dale said, what'd you call him, Dale? He's the
dollar store T-Bob.
Yeah, that's it. That's your new nickname, the dollar store T-Bob.
Dollar store T-Bob.
So he's down in the dumps. I could tell looking at him right now, he's not sitting up. He's not perky. But I know that the more negative things I say, the more things that I say that what I would consider just the reality of our situation make you upset.
We're already there.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so.
Not how the NFC South is rejoicing. The NFC South still has Alvin Kamara in it, and it still has our defense in it, and their defense didn't lose anybody yet. Dennis Allen is still signed on until someone tells me differently. So I don't want to hear these.
I'm not finished. What's the kid that we just signed from first round draft pick, a quarterback? We signed him to futures. Bortles? Yeah, Bortles.
Yeah.
Who's going to coach Bortles up to be the next great quarterback, Greg?
One game is while on the Jaguars. Let's just going to drop that little bit of absolute factual information with no context around it and remind everyone that he won games for the Jaguars.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to take the next washed up first round draft pick quarterback that comes in here and turn him into a Pro Bowler.
Well, I mean, the easy answer, guys, and we're trying, who's the next guy to be Sean? There's not going to be another Sean Payton. Sean Payton should be an easy pick for the Hall of Fame. He revolutionized a lot of offenses in this league. There's a lot of teams and coaches that exist because they've modeled themselves after Sean Payton's genius. I mean, it's just a different kind of offensive football that he's kind of pioneered, and it's never going to be the same. And okay. we need to accept that. I mean, we can lean into hiring defensive coaches. We can lean into a different direction, but just you can't try to replace him because there isn't a replacement for him.
So I gave you the silly question and the try to be funny question. So now I'm going to throw it at you a serious way. I've heard Aaron Glenn. Well, before, let me start with Dennis Allen. Now I even said, everybody was talking about Dennis Allen, like, oh, he should be a hot commodity. He should be a hot commodity. And he wasn't getting any interviews. Just this week, he was asked to go interview in Chicago. So now in hindsight, because I understand that this is not something just happened right at the end of the season that Payton has been talking about. Matter of fact, he said in his presser that he's considered it since training camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's the guy? Could they have told Dennis Allen, look, hang tight, man. Don't bother taking interviews. You're the next guy.
I guarantee that was part of it. I mean, with the job he's done, there's no way that he had as little attention as he did unless he was declining calls or they were just telling people like, hey, there's a plan here.
There's no point. Yeah.
I mean, why bother? Because he's already kind of entrenched in what we do here. The guys love to play for him. He's had success, you know, doing his job now. It's the obvious choice for me. And I think if there were whispers about Sean Payton leaving, that people would have known that. People would have thought, okay, well, what are we going to offer that Gail Benson won't offer? Because she's famous for opening up the checkbook, you know, her and Tom. They would give him whatever he needed, Sean Payton. And I'm not, there's no reason to think that they're not going to offer the next head coach the same kind of freedom, the same kind of leniency. And I think Dennis Allen would want to be a part of that.
Well, okay.
Payton said they never told him no.
Yes.
Like throughout his whole time there. That's amazing.
Like a couple of times they could have.
Okay. So Dale, Craig says that, you know, the next guy, I would tend to believe that, you know, Payton earned that. And I don't know if the next guy just gets like, hey, here's the checkbook, man. You just, I'll sign a handful of them and you just do what you need to do. And you know, I'm kind of not losing sight of the fact, but I'm just glossing over the fact that there is a GM and Mickey Loomis. And, could this now be the succession plan where they talked about Mickey Loomis moving up the chain of command?
Yeah.
And then, our current assistant GM moves into the GM role. And,
right.
You know,
that's what I'm thinking. We're just going to turn the page and start all the way over here. And yeah, let Loomis, you know, keep an eye on, you know, the overall picture, and he can report to Ms. Benson and keep everything running smoothly. And yeah, and now we should be able to get to see Pete Carmichael. I guess I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but yeah, I think it's going to be succession from top to bottom now. And, but we're going to keep, I would hope most of the staff in place, you know, promote people as they earned it, and let's roll like that, man.
Greg, so
I feel the same way about that though. I mean, the bigger deal, I think, than Sean Payton the last couple of years has been the culture and the mindset and everything that he's built. You know, this whole system, everything that works the way it has, is his baby. And now that it's in place, I don't think it's the right move to rock that boat and put in kind of hire from outside. I mean, it's telling that the only two people they mentioned so far to interview were Dennis Allen and Aaron Glenn, both guys who have been in the system and helped build this culture. So I'm thinking there's probably an inclination to keep it in the building, or at least people who have been in the building, and keep the culture strong, because that's the advantage that we still have. To say our only advantage was Sean Payton, yeah, he was an advantage. But I think more than that is the show up to work and expect to win. And we've been like that for a few years now because of that's what he's created. And I'm hoping that we keep the same kind of family chemistry that we have and go from there.
But do you keep the same aggressiveness? Like we've been like chips all in just about every year. I mean,
if you're asking the question, Dale, I would have to say, and I know nobody's gonna want to hear this, good, so we'll debate it. This has to be where the Saints say, you know what, it's time to rebuild. I'm not saying strip it all down to nothing, but my point is the Saints may look at this and say, okay, you lost your Hall of Fame quarterback, you lost your Hall of Fame coach, now it's time to quit kicking the can so far down the road. I'm not saying we won't kick it at all, but we need to just reel it back in a minute, get everything back under control, and then move forward. And that might mean taking a step back for a year or two. I know Craig wants to say something about that. I have a feeling.
You know, I don't disagree to an extent that there's definitely going to be some changes. I think we get less aggressive in the draft, maybe get more guys in the building, you know. But in a way, I could expect us to be more aggressive with keeping our guys, our leadership guys, guys like Armstead that he mentioned, what, 2-3 times in his press conference about being a great leader. And he's up for a payday. I could see the management really going out of their way to keep leaders like that in the building to help with the transition.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. He mentioned, he being Coach Payton, mentioned Teron Armstead several times. And either Teron was like, hey, man, I'm trying to get this contract, I'll kick you a few dollars while you're in retirement. Or he believes that those guys will help in a transition. And it's just, okay, we're going to get into a whole side conversation. It's a hard pill to swallow because he's a great leader. But I read somewhere today that someone said, well, he's a backup tackle now. I mean, he plays 10 games. So it's not talent wise, but the amount of games that he plays. So
yeah,
that puts us in a tough spot. One of the things that I want to say, and again, it could be that the Saints already, you know, the feelers were out. Teams were like, I'm not wasting my time interviewing Dennis Allen. But there's, in my experience, this thing where I think once a coach fails somewhere, that they have so much more difficulty getting a job. And I'm talking about as a head coach, and then getting a job as another head coach. And my thought and feeling on that is that when these GMs hire a coach that's failed, first of all, the fans aren't excited about that, right? The fans aren't like, oh my God, we got Dennis Allen, who was, you know, won 4 games a year average with the Raiders for 3 years. That's how they look at it. So now the GM has just basically put his neck on the block, starting with a coach that the fans aren't going to be super excited about. And they try to avoid that. So what do they want to do? They want to go to college or somewhere and find that next new hot coordinator, because the fans will be excited about that. Now, let's talk about reality. Any responsible adult would probably tell you, matter of fact, when I talk to people, or, you know, I deal with a lot of young people, I tell them that I've learned more from my failures than my success. And I've heard different variations of that comment from people that I respect than just about anything else. And I feel like Dennis Allen would be a great candidate, because I think Saints fans would be all for it. I think they would be supportive and positive. Makes sense. And while he may not have gotten attention outside the building, it's not because he's not capable. It's because he just didn't have the shine on him, right? And the GMs don't want to take that chance. They want to take a chance with the hot thing that, hey, man, everybody was wrong on this guy. It wasn't just me. Where Dennis Allen, it was like, well, you know, you hired a guy who's been a loser, and now he's losing again. You need to go too. So that's kind of how I see it. Any thoughts on this?
I think,
again, just stream of thought.
Yeah, I think the only reason that might not apply to us is because Gale's not going to take the axe out to Mickey Loomis, probably under any circumstances.
No. I was saying the Saints would be the logical place where he would be the most accepted, right? Because I wouldn't be disappointed at all.
I see what you're saying. My point being, you don't want the GM to stick his neck out for a guy that's been losing. I don't know that he can stick his neck out in our situation, which makes our situation ideal for that kind of second chance guy.
Anything, Dale?
Well, what I've noticed when there are new GMs, they usually come in already with the guy they got in mind to bring with them. Like, I'm thinking about Shanahan and Lynch. Like, these guys already had this plan together when one of us got the job. You know, this is the kind of structure we want, you know. So I don't know, maybe because Dennis Allen's been with us so long, he hadn't developed these kind of relationships where these other guys get these jobs and just, you know, bring him along with them.
Yeah, a different way of looking at it. So I don't know, where do we go from here? This was kind of improv too. It's we talked about the potential replacements. Let's talk a little bit about Nielsen, because last offseason he was a hot commodity. The Saints kind of blocked that by making him the assistant head coach. Now, I don't think I think if I'm being a coach's advocate, I'm like, that's the most BS thing you could do, because putting someone in the position of assistant head coach is in no way, in my opinion, other than saying, hey, we want to keep you as an assistant coach, as an endorsement. It's in no way like, oh, that's a stepping stone to the head coaching job. How many assistant head coaches really have just used that as a stepping stone?
Yeah.
To the
next? And I mean, we had Joe Vitt as an assistant head coach for a while.
Right.
No one even knows what he did.
But the fact of the matter is, people did want to talk to him. To my knowledge, he's never been a coordinator offensively or defensively. And so I'm a little, what happens with him? Does he just stick where he is? Because we're talking about keeping it all together, keeping the band together. Peyton moves on. There's a seamless transition. But right now, our defensive backs coach, who's highly regarded, is interviewing, and people are looking at him for defensive coordinator positions. I can't imagine that Nielsen. And again, how long can you keep a guy, kind of string a guy up and tell him you're the assistant head coach when you What duties does that even involve? You know, I mean, I've never seen him in a press conference like, oh, hey, Sean can't make it, so we're going to bring up Nielsen. When Sean was out of a game, Nielsen wasn't the guy who replaced him.
Right.
So how you know what? Maybe before I asked this question, I should have looked it up so I knew an answer, because I'm like, I don't even get it. That seems to me just a deal blocker. Like, I can't stop this guy. I can't, but I get one move. I make you an assistant head coach. It means nothing. I give you a little bit more money and I get to keep you.
Yeah, is that kind of like The Office? He's the assistant to the head coach.
Yes, the assistant to the head coach, not the assistant head coach. Right, right. Exactly. Anybody have any? No, just.
So my thought process, Dennis Allen's the guy. And you want to keep a guy like Nielsen around, you move him up. Everyone kind of moves up a step, you know, a rising tide will raise all ships. Maybe you make him the defensive coordinator, keep everything in building. I mean, he's been working with Allen. He's obviously they're symbiotic in what this defense has been able to achieve. And if this defense keeps trending upward like it has been, and with the draft picks we've used and the guys that a lot of these young talent guys that we have on defense, it would make sense to keep your defensive staff specifically together and kind of not mold the team in that direction, but kind of, you know, you found what you're good at, load up and focus on that.
So how does this work? You know, I'm a fan and not, you know, a player or anything like that. So the assistant, the way I think I understand it, the assistant coaches, like let's say the offensive line coach, defensive line coach, they have their philosophies on how to rush, block, or whatever. But it has to fit within the scheme of the offense, which is called by the offense coordinator, the defense coordinator. So my guess is the relationship between the two people have to be pretty good. You have to be on the same page for it to all work. So the defensive line has been playing pretty good.
Right.
So,
well, okay.
He has to like his philosophy.
In my opinion, and I think that it's pretty obvious, we can go down a long list. You can be a great position coach and not necessarily be a great coordinator. And that, you know, they're not mutually exclusive, but the point is that you might be a great defensive line coach and transition and be a really good defensive coordinator. But I don't know if all great defensive line coaches can be a defensive coordinator, because it's just the two different jobs in organized. Cause what you were mentioning there, you have these three different aspects and there's a lot more. I'm just using three basic. You got defensive backs, you got linebackers, you got defensive linemen. Now all of a sudden as a coordinator, you're putting all these pieces together to work in harmony and be able to coordinate according to the strengths. Now, more times than not, you have the head coach that passes along his philosophy to the defensive coordinators. Then defensive coordinators coach up the coaches, because there's just no way for a coach to be able to. And then they go out there and they're talking about, okay, we want to get leverage on the inside technique here. You want to maintain whatever it is that we're trying to put together. But the defensive position coaches, while they have their own unique way of coaching the players, he's basically just coaching them up to play the defense that the coordinator is organizing. So, you know, I guess where I'm going with this, and I'm not trying, and I didn't from the beginning to turn this into a big negative thing, but I think at some point you just have to accept that there's going to be some serious growing pains here, because if we do respect Nielsen, let's say we go with Dennis Allen, Aaron Glenn is not coming to the Saints to be the defensive coordinator. He's already a defensive coordinator.
Right.
So if he doesn't get the job, then you say, okay, Nielsen might be the next logical step, which in hindsight makes me wonder, because Dale, you mentioned it. Dale was listening to the actual Peyton interview and then texting us because I couldn't listen to it or what have you. And he said he's been thinking about this since last offseason. So I wonder if when Nielsen came, he's like, look, man, there's a good chance you're going to be the defensive coordinator next year. So I need to make you the assistant head coach. Again, pure speculation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He admitted it's part of the succession plan. And so what makes sense is Dennis Allen moving to head coach Nielsen. But getting back to the point, I mean, look, you can't expect Nielsen to go from defensive line coach with no experience as a coordinator and then all of a sudden a seamless, without interruption, defensive transition into a top five defense again. And that's what's a little bit worrisome. So now my argument there supports my next argument of, you know, the Saints may realize this and say, man, we have a great staff. Might take us a couple of years to get on, a couple of seasons to get on this program. What better time than to take a step back, clear out some of the salary cap, get us a quarterback? I don't know. Again, all this is just thoughts that have been going through my head all day since the news broke out. And I could be, like I am normally, completely wrong with my hypothetical. This could be a possibility.
But still, going down that same road, I'm thinking, so by default, Sean Payton is an offensive guy. So my thought is he's spending more time in offensive rooms. And so with Dennis Allen being a defensive guy, he could always be there and still be over the defense. And okay, you know, Nielsen, like, could be his Pete Carmichael now.
Okay, so you know, I start walking on this path and I think, you know, it makes some sense, but you just made a good point. Sean Payton was a freaking offensive coordinator. Now, Pete Carmichael was obviously a very valuable assistant in putting it all together so that he could focus on everything and Carmichael could focus on offense. But game day, he snatched that laminated sheet out and was like, okay, we running this, you know? Mm-hmm. So the same thing could apply to defense, is that Dennis Allen is just basically still working his way as Nielsen gets more experience. Now that's a very positive spin on it, where I don't feel as bad, which would then dispel the fact that the Saints may or may not need to take a little time off to get that salary cap under, you know, I don't know, but I don't know how I can talk about this. And I just don't like being that guy that everything's just going to work out for the best. And like, at some point you just have to look at it and say, man, this is just a huge blow. I mean, doesn't mean we're going to be terrible, but we are not a better team going into next season than we were this past season. We're so not going to be.
I blame Sean Payton for this. Oh, optimism. this crazy, crazy optimism we have, because we've seen it work. We've seen some things happen. Like he's missed a game, and we still
shut
win.
Somebody
we
out still, that we still week.
Look good. Yes.
So Dennis Allen as a head coach, clearly the defense steps up for that.
Well, with Craig's philosophy, which means whoever's the quarterback got the win, so the quarterback's winning percentage is most important.
Head coach has another W right there.
It has to apply the same way. Our potential new head coach is undefeated as a Saints head coach. Not simple as that. So I don't know why that wouldn't, you know, if you just factor in the rest of it, that sounds like 17 and
9. I mean, this is cut and dry. Why are we still talking about this?
Well, I know. Well, it took us a minute to get to this conclusion.
Give Allen the lifetime contract. No one will ever score another point on us. We're good. What are we stressing about?
Yes.
I see y'all concerned faces. I'm we locked up Super Bowls for years now.
Oh boy.
Let's do this. Who that?
Mahomes, who, man? You know, just it's
Mahomes. Yeah, Mahomes gonna look real fun on his backside with this Dennis Allen defense knocking down.
What about Dennis Allen head coach led defense?
That's
with
right.
his
hey, you know, but like you guys were saying, Sean Payton hasn't been an offensive coordinator in 15 years, but we're talking about Sean Payton's offense. Yes.
Right.
I mean, it's gonna be Dennis Allen's defense, even if he ain't pulling the shots.
I think Dale, that was a very astute rebuttal to my thoughts. So I honestly, I agree more with yours after you presented that than I do with mine. So, you know, that just shows you how open-minded and fair I am. Right. So, no, I actually agree with you more. At the end of the day, he's still running that defense, even though someone else is doing all the coordination, what have you, but he can help him transition. So I don't know. Now the next thing is that we know that Carmichael has been running the offense. Okay. I'm not going to say this is my opinion. I hate taking credit for other people. The problem is I'd read and hear so much stuff, I don't remember who said it, but they, you know, maybe this is an old school philosophy. It's a lot harder to coach up a quarterback than it is to find one. And I think we see it all the time with, I wonder what this guy would have been, Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, had they have been on a good team with a good organization with a coach that could act, that actually knew what they were doing and coaching them. So, you know, and it makes sense, man. A lot of these people come in here, they understand football, they are the head coach, but it's like, okay, take this guy and make him a good quarterback. And they're like, well, here's some really cool plays. Go run these and let's see what happens. Is Carmichael a guy? Did he learn enough from Coach Payton? Is he going to be a guy? I'll start with you, Craig. How are we going to do it, Craig?
Before I tell you guys how important Carmichael is, and how he's the best thing since sliced bread. I want to get one thing to be just out in the open. Thank you, Sean Payton, for the last 15 seasons of just fun to be a Saints fan. Even when we weren't great, it was usually pretty fun because we did some crazy stuff here and there. And I'm personally appreciative of the Saints run with Sean Payton. Having said that, Drew Brees retired and our offense was suddenly 30th in the league instead of top five. So was it really Sean Payton or was it really Drew Brees?
Oh my God. I knew something like this was going to come out.
Drew Brees, you know, with a, you know, throwing the ball 5 yards down the field with pinpoint accuracy, and we had a top five or 10 offense, and he leaves and we get a guy with a cannon for an arm for quarterback, and we are the bottom of the league and everything. So before we build the statues of Sean Payton, let's keep in mind that he had Drew Brees for almost every season that he was here.
Carrying. From the way I understand it, when Drew Brees left, is like, hey man, we still got Sean Payton who made Drew Brees. So I mean,
and now now that we're a year removed from the
Drew we know Brees the answer
combination, can we maybe put a little bit more respect on Drew Brees and maybe a little bit less on Sean Payton?
No, actually, in my opinion, I think that they were equally. You know, is it actually 50-50? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, look, you making these statements, and I see the big smile on your face. I think, as a matter of fact, I just realized we all said this. Sean Payton should be the coach of the year, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you take Sean Payton and put him with a Hall of Fame-type quarterback, then you get 11-win, 12-win, 13-win seasons. And so you take the quarterback out, you get a guy, a coach that, man, you could tell this dude knows how to coach. If he only had a quarterback like Drew Brees, he'd win a Super Bowl. But then you take a guy who's really great at quarterback and you take away the coach, and it's like, golly, that was a bust. So my point is, I think it was a symbiotic relationship between two great people at their profession who made each other look a lot better. And, yeah, of course, as Saints fan, we want to believe Drew was really good. But Sean Payton made him. Come on. Now Sean Payton's gone. Everybody's like, well, what has he done? You know, so and who knows? We about to find out, right?
I got a question for you guys on this. If how many wins above replacement, you know, it's a baseball stat. How many wins above average is Sean Payton worth? Is he worth an extra 3 wins a season? Maybe an extra 4 wins.
Okay, that's something. If I'm gonna give a fair answer, I'd have to think a little bit about. But I'm
gonna hear me out. Because how many games the bottom number because of injury this year? Because if we lost 5 games for injury and we're +4 for Sean Payton, if we have a season with this roster that isn't banged up and with a lesser coach, there's an argument to be made that we could have been better with a healthy team than with Sean Payton this year. Does that make any sense?
Well, okay, that's a lot of hypothetical. I mean, it's interesting to think about, but it's like, well, if this guy wouldn't have been banged up and that guy would have, I don't know. No, I don't know what conclusion you can draw.
Huh? We had our hamstrings cut out from under us this year.
100%.
Banged up a couple of times. We were massacred. Right. And we still won 9 games because of Sean Payton. But
okay.
Did we win 9 because of Sean Payton?
Or his worst season had to be like 7.
If we were healthy.
His worst season had to be like 7 wins, right?
Right.
Yeah, his floor was 7 wins. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's his floor.
So
that doesn't mean that he's accountable for all 7 of them.
I mean, hey.
But I mean, how many times did Jim Haslett win 8 games? Are you going to say Jim Haslett's worth 8 every year? I mean,
yeah, you can't give him all of it because even the crappiest teams, not the very, very worst, but the worst, you know, the bad teams in the league win 6 games.
I mean, sometimes you roll out there with Taysom Hill, kick 3 field goals, and beat the Buccaneers. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah, doesn't necessarily translate to
was that offensive know, Dennis genius
Allen on that game, you know?
Yeah, right. And that's the thing is, I don't know how you would quantify that, but it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting thing to talk about. I would say that Sean Payton, because here's the other problem is you could say, oh, well, we won 9 games, but you know what? Let's say the first until Jameis Winston went out, and then the offensive line got decimated, and then Kamara missed, what was it, 4 or 5 games? I mean, the Saints weren't as bad as they were in the first half of the season as they were in the second half. So you might make the argument, boy, if everybody stays relatively healthy, I'm not saying perfectly healthy, but if we win 10, 11 games. What if the first half of the season we were as banged up as the second half? We don't win 9 games. I mean, we look at it. We lost 5, you know, so how do you answer that question? I don't know, but
no, you can't. We just argue about it on podcasts. That's what
my new saying is going to be, we about to find out. Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting note, guys, is the Saints finished the season one game over 500, but Sean Payton didn't. He was 500 this year.
Oh, one of those you know what? That's the
We're
deep
a 500 analytics. Ball club with Sean Payton this year.
That's the deep analytics that you don't get on any other podcast. It just shows
you. The ones that are irrelevant and make no sense.
All right, so now let's talk about, here's my air quotes, retirement. This is where I start getting a little frustrated because all these rumors, and I know my logic is, this is self-suiting logic, but all these rumors, oh, it's all bull, oh, and then we find out, man, it's been going on for a couple of years. So the rumors weren't just rumors, and it wasn't just clickbait. The other thing we're hearing is, Chicago, New York, the Dallas Cowboys. So I heard Peyton say today, or matter of fact, I read Dale's text and it said, I do not plan on coaching in 2022. Well, yeah. Hell no, you ain't coaching in 2022. You got a contract through 24. But what that says to me, because every stinking coach does the same thing. Oh, I do not plan on coaching outside of the SEC. They just moved to Alabama.
I did not have relations with that.
Right. Whatever, however you want to verbalize it. And then you later say, well, it wasn't a lie because I, you know, whatever. And boy, I tell you what, two things that I'm going to be mad about. One, if Sean Payton goes to the Cowboys in 23. And two, if out of some sense of loyalty, we just going to let him out of his contract. No, hell no.
Hell no.
No.
If he goes to the Cowboys, we get a first round pick for him, right?
Pony up.
He's on the contract. So they'd have to trade for him, right?
They have to trade for him.
That's right.
Now, the thing that I said I would look up, if a player has a three-year contract and decides, and he has 2 years left, and decides, I'm not playing, I'm sitting out because I don't like something, his contract pauses. When he comes back, he still has 2 years left on his contract. I'm not sure if NFL coaches, if that applies. But having said that, no, you're not getting Sean Payton without giving compensation. But I see a world where out of some deranged sense of loyalty that Gail Benson and Mickey Loomis say, you know what, you did so much for us, we appreciate you, we're not going to do anything to hamstring you going to, I'd be damned, boy, I would be mad as, I'd be furious. Who's
no
first?
Way in hell. No way in hell would I support anything like that.
I mean, first round pick is minimum, minimum. Even if there's only 1 year left on it, if he comes back in 2 years and wants to go coach the Dallas freaking Cowboys, yeah, no, you got to pay for him. That's ridiculous. Oh, man, I'd be so mad.
And the other thing about that is, okay, if it was the Denver Broncos, I could see. But if it's the Cowboys, then to me, that meant all along you was planning on this, and that's what makes me mad. No, you literally left the Saints to go to the Cowboys. And you abandon us. And let me tell you something else that I don't like. Since we talked about all the things we like, now I'm going to tell you something I don't like. I'm not a big fan of teams that when they have these star players that they're like, oh, hey, let's all of us go to Miami and we'll win a championship. Well, yeah, great. Why don't we just stack with the very best of the best, put them all on one team, make the playing field unbalanced, and win us a championship, which is a fake,
you
not
like
real
Rams
championship.
Trying to do right now?
Huh?
I mean, like the Buccaneers did last year, but, and the Rams trying to do right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like these Bucs fans get on there and start talking about how they went. So you hired a hitman for a year. You couldn't win with nothing. You went and got the greatest quarterback of all time. And now you won a Super Bowl. And somehow that's you. You did that? No. You know, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. But if Sean Payton leaves for the Cowboys, that'll tell me that he looked at the Saints and said, you know what? They don't have a quarterback now. It's not a good draft for a quarterback. I see it being another couple of years before we can get this situation settled. We could go 3 or 4 or 5 years. And again, I know y'all kind of, especially Craig's tweaking right now, but the logic I'm making is he don't see immediate fix to anything and says, you know what? The Cowboys are young and talented. I'm going to go coach them. That I'd lose every ounce of respect. And that's my opinion. That's how I feel. Nobody's going to change it. If he goes to the Cowboys after sitting out a year, that would make me very upset.
There would definitely be a lot of voodoo dolls of Sean Payton All right. And he would not like this outcome. I'm telling you.
We could get the Eli Apple treatment.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, for those of you who don't know, Eli Apple decided to take to Twitter and his average to below average self decided to say,
he's never been average in his life.
He said, you know what? Some of the most irritating fans is out of the New York Giants or the New Orleans Saints fan base. I think the Saints win. And I think to myself, you mean the two teams that you played for that you were essentially a huge disappointment and failure at?
We draft the fans actually cut good reason. We'd rather have a rookie starting than this guy.
Matter of fact, the Giants have much more reason to be, you know, irritated. And I'm talking about the fan base. They put up a high. Was it the 10th pick in the draft for this guy? And then he has the nerve to talk to them like they silly because they were disappointed in him. So at some point, why don't you go and perform and quit running your mouth? Because I think that he's opened up a can of worms. Two of what I would consider probably the most passionate fan bases, the Giants. Maybe I don't know if passionate like Saints fans are, but these are jerks, man. You know, these are bad people who are going to be on him. I mean, it's going to be awful for him on social media.
Stat drop for everybody. Paulson Adebo, our rookie, has 3 interceptions this season in his rookie year, which is more than Apple had in his entire run with the Saints.
But yeah, we should be upset. We shouldn't be so hateful to him. Matter of fact, I don't even think to myself, I didn't have that high expectations for him. I mean, he was, in my opinion, he was a washout when we traded for him. I was like, if we get anything from this guy, it's probably better than nothing.
And now all of us get to watch this jerk try to cover Tyreek Hill next week.
Oh, man. Okay. So who else wants to give kudos to the NFL writers who wrote up this weekend with 3 walk-off field goals in an overtime game that was insane between Buffalo and Kansas City?
That's a hell of a game.
Yeah, you know what? To me, though, I wanted to see, just for the new blood, I wanted to see the Buffalo Bills get in. But I have to, a moment of criticism. You just know you stupid when you leave 13 seconds on the clock. I mean,
13
you know,
whole
like,
seconds.
You got to kneel down or something, man. Seconds. Run the ball one more time. Something. You can't give an NFL football team 13 seconds to go 60 yards.
Play where you run backwards for like 10 seconds and take a safety, you know, just to try to go clock.
Oh my God.
To not give him the ball ever again.
13 seconds. Wait. 13. You guys, you got to 13 seconds. That fool was like, no, I got this. Field goal. Hey, let's go to overtime. You like, oh my God. So, okay. So Craig, your opinion, overtime problem, not a problem.
You know, I was a little grumpy when they changed it the first time. Everybody knows they changed the overtime rule just to spite the Saints because the Saints benefited from it. And they said, we wanted to have Brett Favre in the Super Bowl. You're not Brett Favre. We're gonna change this entire system to make sure that the Saints don't get a break ever again. And we haven't. So when they changed the possessions, I didn't love that in the beginning. I don't think it needs to go to college rules. I wouldn't mind it not being decided by a coin flip at the end. Like maybe it's something at the beginning of the game, you know who gets the ball to start, you get the ball in the second half and who would have the ball in overtime first. You know, cause that could kind of add to the dynamic of late in the game. If you have, 45 seconds left and you're deep in your own territory and you know, you get the ball to start overtime, maybe you kneel it out. But if you know your opponent's going to get the ball, you're going to take some shots and maybe, try to push the issue in regulation. Because when it comes down to is if you lose in overtime, you should have won the regular game. Like when we lost the NFC Championship in 18, say, you lost in overtime. Yeah, we shouldn't have been in overtime. So if you're really going to get grumpy about losing in OT, win in the regular regulation.
Yes. Dale, I kind of look at it like you ever watched The View, is The Voice. The Voice. Sure. See, the way it works, you put up these two singers against each other and they sing and one of them got to win, but one of them got to lose. And then the other judge, they get to steal the person, even though they lost, they on my team. Now, I think most people, when you see a game like that, it really boils down to nobody wants to see either team lose. I'm sure the other fan base. Right. But what I'm saying is in general, the fans, who are just enjoying NFL football and don't really have a dog in a fight are like, God, man, dang it, I can't think of his name, but Josh Allen. Josh Allen, man, he played incredible, man. That pass, man, touchdown, took the lead. But then here comes Kansas City and Mahomes, like, he shouldn't lose it. And so what happens is everybody gets caught up in the, oh, they shouldn't have done that. But if the roles would have been completely reversed, exactly reversed, and they would have been like, oh, well, that's not fair either. They just don't want to see either team lose because it was such a great game. And I think that's what's behind this whole thing.
So if you ever watch wrestling, and matter of fact, hey, this Saturday, okay, it's going to be the Royal Rumble.
Saturday.
All right. But if you ever watch wrestling, man, and there's a really good match going on, the crowd will start chanting, fight forever.
Right.
Fight forever. And that's exactly what happened with this game. We didn't want the game to end. So yeah, we don't want a loser.
Well, conversely, if nobody wanted to see a lose, I very much wanted to see Stefon Diggs lose.
Oh, yeah.
Very much. But did in that game, did y'all see what the fan runs onto the field and the offensive lineman is the security guard have him down, and offensive lineman gets the guy's shoe and just throws it. if you hadn't seen it, man, go over to our Twitter at BS and Beer Media on Twitter, and we posted it out there, man. You can check it out.
You know what? Speaking of that, we are trying to touch a different audience. Matter of fact, we had an epiphany as a team, as a group, the BS and Beer, and we realized that we kind of been slacking off, maybe going on 2 years since we lost the studio, and we're kind of doing this virtually after COVID. We kind of just been doing the bare minimum. We have kind of rededicated ourselves to producing a better show and doing things. We have a new Facebook page, and we're trying to touch that audience. So find us at BS and Beer Media on Facebook and follow us there. So one of the things I thought you were going to touch on, and if we're talking about one of them losing last week, and when we were talking on Saturday, I had this as a note, and I thought you were going to bring this up. But did you see that? I guess the Buffalo fans throwing dildos onto the field.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, man. I saw
it. It's not the first time they've done that either.
No, they do it. That's their thing. I never heard about it before, but they take these big old rubber dongs and throw them onto the field. And there was a picture I saw, and the dude is just like pointing at it, like for another team, like, damn, you know? And so I will find that picture and I'll put it on our Facebook page. I don't know if that's how we should represent it. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I'm not going to do that.
We're going to be full of Falcons fans in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right. All right. Yeah. Maybe I could put a link with no picture. I don't know, man. It's too funny not to talk about or whatever, but it's awful. So maybe just because of that, they deserve to lose. So, all right. Any final thoughts here? I'll go with Craig.
Yeah. Joking aside, I'm so grateful for Sean Payton and the run we had with Drew and the Super Bowl and some of these historic hatchet jobs by the referees and somewhere Roger Goodell is smoking a big cigar because he finally broke him.
Oh, so
thank you, Sean.
Dang. Hey, will we start getting like not in our favor, but just field worth of calls now that Sean Payton
needs to turn. It needs to turn now.
With how we've been the last few years, if we're suddenly middle of the road in calls against our opponents, then we're going to know. It'll be confirmation of conspiracy.
We know. So yeah, man, I'm going to say, look, I miss Sean Payton. I'm going to miss Sean Payton for sure. But it probably had to do with the Netflix movie about him being out for a year, and he thought about how relaxing it was and how much he enjoyed that year off. It had to be that. And so that's why he's going
to
go ahead.
Kevin James is so much more cut out to play me than to play Sean Payton. So it's really amazing that casting ever happened.
I thought about that, Dale. I said to myself, you know what? Maybe that year off was a blessing in disguise. The Saints weren't going to the Super Bowl that year. And let our great coach have a year off to re-energize, right? And come back for another long run.
And we were bad when he came back from his year off.
Well,
that, when the 7-9 season started?
I mean, but that is it when it started? I guess it was.
Yeah. It either, so you know it, what? It was either immediately after or we had one more good year and then we were 7-9 for 3 years.
I won't be mad at Dallas and Sean Payton if he goes over there after his year off and they have 4-7-9 seasons. How about that? Okay. So I'll let him off. I'll be like, greatest Seven's coach in Saints history. If he goes over there and they win, nah, he's dead to me. Dead. All right. Also, let me mention that our new segment, we're going to have the BS and Beer Brawls. BS and Beer Brawl number one. And I think it's going to be Craig versus Dale in Saints trivia. But if you guys want to be part of it, we're going to bring, after we get it rolling, we're going to bring fans on to compete against one of our staff members in the BS and Beer Brawls. So it may be like BS and Beer Brawl 3 or 4 that you come on, be 5 or 6 questions. See if you can, I don't know what, outthink, outcunning, something like that.
You just get low. Low man wins.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, matter of fact, I was thinking that the fan could even write his own intro. Was it, what do you call it? A walk-on song or walk-off?
Yeah, like walk-up song.
Yeah, and so so they can pick their walk-up song and then they can write their own thing. You know, debonair, handsome man's going up against Craig and his tired old whatever, you know, like make his own promo. And if
they wrestling entrance.
Yes. I think it's going to be fun, but you won't want to miss it. BS and Beer Brawls 1 coming our next show.
Remember, anyway, guys, if we get enough likes and retweets on that, we'll add in a cage match section.
Oh, that could be interesting. We won't tell you what that is, though. Not yet. But what happens when we get to BS and Beer Brawl 13?
13.
We have to work on the coordination. Y'all off just a little bit. I don't know if it's the internet or
I think both of y'all are off is what's happening right now.
Is that what's doing it? All right. Well, that's all the show that we have for you this week. Man, it's been a hell of a show too. So for Heath Elsasson, Craig Wright, Dale Mims, I'm Dave Romero. I'm a little disappointed right now. I'm looking for some optimism. I want to see something positive. Next show, I can almost bet you that there'll be more positive stuff to talking about. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast, and we'll see you next time we do a show.
Who that?
Who that?
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, girl, give your time to Davey, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.